get. I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through with doubt. There's nothing left for me to figure out. I paid a price.
We're back. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona, top of the hour. I want to remind everybody, in my website, www.theamericanawakening.org, I've quit tobacco. And if you notice, I mean, I'm spunkier, my mood's a little bit better. I got more energy. I find myself running up and down the street, doing laps around my apartment complex. Actually, no, but, you know, I do walk down to the Circle K and get my cinnamon balls. And actually, it's the drugstore down the street. But at any rate, I want you to go in there. If you do smoke, if you find yourself in a position a lot of times where you're on an airplane or you're in an airport or you're in a place where they don't allow smoking, you know, or whatever the reason, these pills, I've used them for a long time, and they work really great for getting rid of tobacco cravings. Now, I've decided, folks, about, 10 days ago or so, to just quit altogether, which I've done, and the pills work very well. They're cheap. It's a two-bottle set. It's $35 plus $5 shipping and handling. I mean, you can use them to quit smoking or quit using tobacco products, or you can just use them if you get in a place where you can't smoke for 4, 5, 6 hours, 10 hours, whatever it is, because it totally eliminates the craving for a cigarette or any use of tobacco. I strongly recommend it. I've used these for a long time. They're great. They're the best product, and I've used a lot of them over the years. They're the best product I've ever used. So it's called Nicco Free. You can go into my website. It's $35 plus $5 shipping and handling. You can send a money order to my address, and I'll send you out some along with some directions on how to use it. And if you have any questions about it, you can feel free to drop me an email or give me a call, and I'll walk you through it. I tell you a little secret. Along with that, what I did was and I'm still hooked on these things, is these cinnamon balls that, you know, it's just like a jawbreaker. But the cinnamon ball seems to be a close substitute for, you know, doing something. I was dipping tobacco. It's a substitute for it. But I remember I've known people in the past who have quit smoking that have used cinnamon sticks. So there's something about cinnamon that works real well as well. So that I kind of used along with it. But I do highly recommend it, folks. And if you need to quit or you want to quit, buy a bottle of it, okay? It comes in a two-bottle set. At any rate, let me get back to this here. Short segment, then we're going to take a break. But I want to continue with this Bin Laden thing because it's really interesting here. This reporter, Bin Laden has dyed his beard. So he's obviously been to the hairdresser. And according to this reporter, it's a popular practice among Arab leaders. This is according to Rita Katz. I think it works for their benefit, Al-Qaeda, that he looks young and healthy, Katz said. The announcement and photo appeared in a banner advertisement on an Islamic militant website where Al-Qaeda's media arm, Al-Sahib, frequently posts messages. Soon, God willing, a videotape from the Lion Sheik Osama bin Laden, God preserve him, the advertisement read, signed by Al-Sahib. Such announcements are usually put in 1 to 3 days before the video is posted on the web. Now, I'm going to continue with this in a minute here. I think I've got a break coming up shortly, but I don't hear the music. I should be hearing the music. But there's another article that I ran across, and I'd like to get some input. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, because this said this is a popular practice among Muslims. And there we go. Now the music's coming. Okay. I'm going to take a break, 3 minutes, and be back, and I'm going to get into what this other article says regarding this popular practice of dyeing the beard. Stick with me. Be right back. Thank you.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Michael, the American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. And talking about this this latest Bin Laden video that's about to be released, coincidentally right around 9/11.
Hmm?
Yes, because we've got demonstrations on 9/11 at the 9/11 Ground Zero site with a whole bunch of people showing up there, and it's getting bigger every year. And of course, they have to downplay that by putting the booga booga out, if you will. But at any rate, I was reading this article where this what was her name? Katz. Yeah, was talking about the Muslims. Let me read that again so I make sure I get this right. I think it works for Al-Qaeda's benefit that he looks young and healthy. Well, here's the problem. Dyeing one's beard is strictly forbidden under Islamic law. Any devout Muslim would be aghast at an image of a purported spokesperson with a dyed beard. It's okay to tint it with henna, but in that case, gray hair appears orange. Pakistan is full of guys sporting huge orange beards, but there is no market whatsoever for Grecian formula, at least not among the Wahhabis. So, Ms. Katz, the Site Institute, I don't know, lady. The announcement and photo appeared in a banner advertisement on the Islamic militant website where Al-Qaeda's media arm Al-Sahib frequently posts message. Soon, God willing, a videotape from the Lion Sheikh Osama bin Laden, God preserve him, the advertisement read, signed by Al-Sahib. Such announcements are usually put out 1 to 3 days before the video is posted on the web. Now, the date of the message is unknown. Past videos released by Al-Qaeda and related groups, and remember, Al-Qaeda Who started Al-Qaeda? Where does that go back to? What's that guy's name, Bob Gates? That's the guy who took over for Rumsfeld? Wasn't he affiliated with starting Al-Qaeda to begin with? I gotta look into that. Past videos released by Al-Qaeda and related groups have not all been current. Instead, compromising clips from previous released or even previously unreleased messages by bin Laden. The CIA and NBC News terrorism expert Evan Coleman has been able to make the determinations quickly. It is possible that the release of the video has been driven by reports that bin Laden is dead. Yeah, there's been more than one report of that. U.S. intelligence officials have been quoted, as they were before the 2004 tape, as saying that there are equal bodies of evidence that bin Laden is alive or dead. The video, if current, would end that debate and give the jihadis a moral or morale boost. And then, of course, they talk about timed to coincide with 9/11. The anniversary has always been a major media event for Al-Qaeda, a chance for it to drum up support among extremists, tout itself as the leading militant group, and show off its continued survival. They've always gone out of their way to commemorate it, said Ben Binsky, chief executive officer of Intel Center, which monitors Islamic websites and analyzes terror threats. Historically, the anniversary of 9/11 has never been drawn to attacks. It's drawn to video releases. But the fact that bin Laden is delivering the message is significant, he said. Whether the message will indicate a potential attack will depend on what bin Laden says. Yes, folks, it's very significant because bin Laden's dead and has been for years. Let's go to Jason in California. Jason, you're on with Michael. Go ahead. Hello, Jason.
Rita.
Jason.
Hello.
Hello, are you with me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I just found some interesting things on Google here. Is it? I'll just read this to you. Rita Katz is director and co-founder of the Site Institute. Born in Iraq, her father was tried and executed as an Israeli spy, whereupon her family moved to Israel. There's another interesting note about her. She received more than $130,000 for her work as an FBI consultant in the case and trial of Al Husayn, who was detained for 1.5 years before his trial, in which the jury acquitted him on all terrorist-related charges. That was a couple of years ago. But if you just go on Google and just, I mean, just look up who this lady is, I mean, she's the lady who's responsible for releasing one of the last Al-Qaeda tapes. Supposed to be like the number two Al-Qaeda guy.
Isn't that interesting? Well, thank you so much for that call, Jason. Yes, and she quotes here that she says she thinks it works for their Al-Qaeda benefit that he looks young and he looks healthy. And you know, Muslims are forbidden from dyeing their beards. So, you know, who is this lady? This lady is obviously, you know, it's in some capacity in the intelligence community.
For which government? I mean, like you're talking, I mean, it's just the Israeli thing again. All right, thanks a lot.
Hey, thank you, Jason. I appreciate the call. Honestly, I do. And, you know, yeah, maybe I should have researched this a little bit further, but I didn't have to because Jason called in. At any rate, the bottom line is, like the other ones, folks, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, the tape is a fake, and it's a poor one at that. And I looked at – I'm going to get rid of this – the MSNBC article. I'm looking at an article from WhatReallyHappened.com, Michael Rivero. And the title of that's the Osama bin Laden, the newest fake. And, you know, you can go in there, look at it for yourself and examine the photographs of bin Laden and then look at this clown. And it, I mean, the beard doesn't look right. The nose doesn't look right. And what's interesting is the clarity of the photograph itself. Just, it doesn't look right. I mean, there's no question it's fake. You know, how they did it, I don't know, because as anybody at the network will tell you, I'm not a technician. I'm not really technically oriented when it comes to pictures, when it comes to, technology with computers and so forth. I'm not a real wizard when it comes to that. But it's not rocket science to take a look at this, compare the photographs and say, this isn't Osama bin Laden, and it's doctored. Whatever. Okay, enough of that. Shifting gears here. Again, the phone lines are still open. I appreciate the call from Jason enlightening us on that. And I'm going to shift gears here and come to my grand finale, which is going to take up the rest of the hour. And this is 22 things we now know 6 years after 9/11. And since it's coming up to the anniversary on 9/11, and we've got all kinds of people, and I was going to be one of them, but unfortunately, financially, I was unable to make it, that was going to go up to the remembrance of, on 9/11 in New York at Ground Zero. I wasn't able to go. I was talking about going up there with Randy Weaver, but unfortunately, I wasn't able to raise the money. At any rate, 22 things we need to know 6 years after 9/11. This is by Bernard Weiner, the co-editor for the Crisis Papers. Each year around the anniversary of 9/11, I summarize what we ordinary citizens have learned since that awful day in 2001. This is the sixth annual look backwards, an update based on new information about those horrific events and what followed. We now know more. What we now more fully understand is how the Cheney Bush administration utilized the murderous terrorism of 9/11 as the one-size-fits-all justification for their unfolding domestic and foreign agenda. By and large, one can sum up that overall agenda as amass and control power in the U.S. and much of the world, and in cahoots with their corporate supporters, loot the Treasury. That's an understatement. All this was to be carried out secretly with no accountability. The 22 different events, 22 things. 9/11, the war on terror. Number one, Iraq plan succeeded 9/11. Let's remember the chronology of how we got here. The administration's far-right domestic agenda was bogged down in 2001 after Jim Jeffords left the Republican caucus and joined the now-majority Democratic one in the Senate. 9/11 and the mysterious anthrax attacks that followed and had the side effect of providing the Cheney Bush administration pretty much a free ride in putting police state tactics in place, symbolized by the so-called Patriot Act, overriding constitutional protections and greasing the wheels for all sorts of domestic legislation that otherwise might have been bottled up forever. Planning for an attack on Iraq, as Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill later told us, already had begun at the first cabinet meetings after Inauguration Day in early 2001. After 9/11, those plans proceeded apace, even when the intelligence indicated that it was not an Iraq operation but an al-Qaeda terrorist attack out of Afghanistan. It appeared that the U.S. military over time would capture or kill Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan and effectively destroy al-Qaeda forces that had attacked America on 9/11. But Cheney Bush abruptly pulled the U.S. forces from Afghanistan and headed them for Iraq. A country that was in no real danger to the U.S. and its allies. That was a no real danger to its U.S. and allies. Late flash, the resurgent Taliban allies of al-Qaeda now control a good share of Afghanistan. If the U.S. had stayed in that country and taken care of business, today's reality may well have been different, significantly different. Unanswered 9/11 questions. There still are unanswered questions about the horrific events of September 11, 2001, mainly centered around A, why Bush sat there for 7 minutes reading the Pet Goat book after he'd been informed of a plane hitting the second tower. Let me stop there. Remember the look on his face? I mean, could you see his brain spinning? Visualize that for a minute. I remember watching that guy for 7 minutes saying, "What in the world are you doing and what are you thinking, you clown?" Well, now we know a little bit more of what he was thinking, but we didn't then. America is under attack, his chief of staff whispered to him. And why the Secret Service, as they are trained to do when the president is believed to be in danger, didn't surround him and get him the hell out of that classroom, the clear implication that the delay operation was in progress. B, why NORAD didn't scramble its fighters in time to do anything, same implication. C, whether World Trade Center Towers 1, 2, and 7 collapsed into their footprints as a result of fire, structural damage, or from preset demolition charges. There are reputable scientists on both sides of that one. How to explain all of the put options on American Airlines and United Airlines stocks just prior to the attacks, clearly suggesting someone knew which airlines were going to be hijacked and was trying to profit from the pending attacks. But regardless of whether Cheney and Bush were complicit to any degree in the deaths and destruction that day, and there is no proof that they were, what we do know is that in the months, weeks, and days prior to 9/11, red-hot warnings about a planned terrorist attack using planes as weapons aimed at buildings in New York and Washington were coming into the White House from a wide variety of other countries. Oh, gosh, here we go again. Another break. Well, got to pay the bills, folks. We'll be back in three. Stick with me, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. Got more for you, and it gets better.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web 24 hours a day at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people are reporting improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolution frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Just don't treat the symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions, and it's very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that number, 866-885-6625.
Back. Michael Herzog of the American Awakening. I want to remind everybody, this short segment coming up at the bottom of the hour, but I want to remind everybody, call your friends, neighbors, relatives. We are going to have one spectacular week next week. I'm going to have John Hankey with me all week, every day next week for the full 2 hours, and he's going to go into the Bush and the JFK connection to the assassination, JFK Jr., and the evidence that he has there. We're just going to go into a myriad of issues. He has a tremendous amount of information to give out. And so, folks, if you've been talking to people, which you should do if you haven't already been, okay, but if you've been talking to people or friends, neighbors, relatives that are skeptics, or even if, you know, the people are just, you know, out and about and doing this or that or the other thing, you want to invite them to have a listen, because this is going to be one bang-up week. It's going to be action-packed, and it's going to have all kinds of information that people need to be aware of. And I'll tell you what, the one of the individuals that we'll be talking about here, Clinton, is going to pop up, and his wife is running for president. Okay, so we need to get a handle on that, need to share it with everybody we know. So, you know, get your hands on the telephone, call your friends, neighbors, relatives, and remind them all week next week. I'm going to have John Hankey. I'm so excited about this week coming up, because we're all going to learn a lot, folks. So with that, let me get back to these 22 events. By the way, the phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. At the very least, then, Cheney, Bush, and a few other key insiders knew that a spectacular attack was coming. They knew it, folks, and did absolutely nothing. Even after Bush was briefed on August 6th with a report entitled Bin Laden Determined to Attack Inside the U.S. Remember that? Remember when they questioned Condoleezza Rice about that, and she'd sung and danced all over it? Which talked about preparations for hijacking, suspected terrorists surveilling federal buildings in New York, teams of terrorists being inside the U.S. with explosives. There was no heightening of awareness, no alerting airlines, no sending out photos of al-Qaeda suspects to be on the lookout for it, no calling of an urgent meeting to counterterrorism experts inside the White House to coordinate either a way of minimizing the damage or dealing with a post-attack response. Nothing. Again, if the above is true, one is left with two alternative explanations. A, these Cheney Bush guys in charge were and remain totally over their heads in terms of governance. Well, okay, there's some that would agree with that. They simply didn't have a clue what was about to happen and what to do about it. Administration actions during the past 6.5 years supply more than enough evidence that Bush and his crew are total, and I'm not going to say the words, but F-ups. Ooh, I almost did. I almost slipped. It's a reverse Midas syndrome. Everything they touch turns to excrement. Total bumblers, screw-ups, and incompetent adults. Yeah, I don't think so. I think they knew. And I think they're not incompetent screw-ups. I think they know exactly what they're doing. B, they knew something major was about to go down, although 3,000 deaths may have been way beyond what they imagined, in order to use those attacks as a rallying point to amass power and push their agenda through a Congress that otherwise was antagonistic to them. Oh, gosh. All right, number three, the facts of 9/11. We know that the Bush administration didn't want the public to learn much. No. If anything, about the events of that day 6 years ago, Bush and company had to be dragged kicking and screaming into agreeing to the appointment of the official 9/11 commission, and they named as the executive director one of their main men, Philip Zelikow, now an administration official, who, by the way, if you look him up in Wikipedia, he is the perpetrator. He's an expert. Remember when Bush said he was going to call all the experts? Oh, we're going to get all the experts here. Philip Zelikow, according to Wikipedia, is an expert in the creation of myths. Yes. He never told us. Bush never told us what he was expert in. Okay, we didn't find that out till later. As it turned out, the administration. Oh, and by the way, he tried to appoint Kissinger, the doctor of death, there. But the Jersey Girls took care of that one for us. Thank you, Jersey Girls. My hat goes off to you for that. As it turned out, the administration wasn't all that cooperative in furnishing documents. I see. Bush would not testify under oath and would deign to appear only with Cheney by his side, and remember this, and this is off the record, I'm not reading from this, but remember, it couldn't be under oath either. Here's my, I'm not going to read that. And we later learned the commission was so angered by the constantly shifting stories told by the Pentagon and NORAD that they were ready to urge that legal charges be filed. In short, the 9/11 Commission's probe was not exhaustive, leaving many areas of investigation unplumbed, and many questions still unsatisfactorily answered. Number four. I'll never get through all of these, but this is fun, isn't it? It's just a reminder. We got 9/11 coming up here, folks. I want to burn this and emblazon it in your memory. Do you feel a passion? I mean, do you feel like just getting up off your seat like that guy in Network and go screaming out the window, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore? Get up, get off your seat, and realize how much power you've got, guys. Get out into the public and tell them what's going on. Tell them to throw their TV in the river. Number four, PNAC and the neocons. We know that a far-right segment of the conservative movement was dedicated to using America's sole superpower status to move aggressively in the world while they believed no other country or international force could put up much resistance. The key neocon leaders in charge of U.S. foreign military policy, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Wolfowitz, Bolton, Pearl, Khalilzad, were founders of and affiliated the Project for a New American Century, and may I point out on page 52 specifically, I believe it's paragraph 2, when they said, you know, the revolution is likely to be a long one, absent a catastrophic and catalyzing event such as a new Pearl Harbor, which is what that was, 9/11. Oh, gosh, we've got to take a break, and I was on a roll, too. We'll be back at 3, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stick with me. I'm having a good time at this one.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast, and it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Michael Herzog, the American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. I just heard that commercial. I recorded that commercial the other day. Attention, RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. You know, this new sleeping thing. And I guess it works okay. A couple of people have tried it and said it really works. But I was just thinking, you know, if that doesn't work, attention, RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping, get your wife to bat you in the head with a bread roller. That ought to work. I'm just kidding you. Anyway, let's go back to this. I'm having a good day. This is Friday. I got 2 days coming up, and I might even go to a ball game this weekend. The Diamondbacks are playing St. Louis, and I'm just hoping that they stomp St. Louis because the Cubs are in first place and St. Louis is chasing them. Anyway, back to this PNAC thing. Let's see. The neocons realize that presidents enjoy enormous patriotic support during wartime. But when the war ends, these leaders lose their compelling luster, as was the case with Bush 1. Ergo, Bush 2 would become the permanent wartime president, and those who oppose him could then be tarred forever with a smear of unpatriotic and hating America, thus marginalizing their political impact. As it worked, the Democrats cowered and gave Bush virtually everything he wanted up till relatively recently, when occasionally they remember they have spines in their bodies and stand up and fight as an opposition party should. We know that Bush and company saw, in Condi Rice's appointment apt term at the time, the opportunity offered by 9/11 attacks to move quickly and forcefully with the administration's foreign and domestic agenda. PNAC talked about its Pax Americana plan for global benevolent hegemony using the retooled military. This military transformation would take forever to implement. A PNAC report said unless a new Pearl Harbor changed the equation in the public mind, 9/11 came along and was used as that new Pearl Harbor. We know that after 9/11, Bush seemed to bring the entire country along with him and when he launched an attack on Al-Qaeda and its Taliban government supporters in Afghanistan. But there's no oil in that destitute country, and as Rumsfeld reminded us, not much worth bombing. Thus, no lessons could be drawn by Middle East leaders from the U.S. attack. But as Cheney's secret energy panel was aware, there was another country in the region that did have oil and lots of it, and which could be taken easily by U.S. forces. Thus, Iraq became the object lesson to other autocratic leaders in the Middle East, especially in Syria and Iran. If you do not do our bidding, prepare to accept a massive dose of shock and awe. You will be removed, replaced by democratic-looking governments as arranged by the U.S. control of Iraq's oil, has been at the forefront of the U.S. occupation policies in Iraq, and remains so. The neocons, most of whom were members of PNAC and similar organizations such as the American Enterprise Institute and Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, has urged Clinton to depose Saddam Hussein in 1998, but he demurred, seeing a mostly contained dictator there, whereas Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan and those terrorists like him actually were successfully attacking U.S. assets inside the country and abroad. But the PNAC crowd had larger ambitions than simply toppling a brutal Iraqi dictator. Among their other recommendations, preemptively attacking countries that were of no imminent danger to the U.S., abrogating treaties when they conflicted with U.S. goals, making sure no other nation or organization such as the United Nations could ever achieve power parity with the U.S., installing U.S.-friendly governments to do America's will, expressing a willingness to use tactical nuclear weapons, and so on. All these extreme PNAC suggestions, once regarded as lunatic, were enshrined in 2002 as official U.S. policy in the National Security Strategy of the United States of America and were renewed in Bush's 2004 National Security Strategy. Oh, gosh. The Iraqi invasion and occupation. Number five, sexing up the intel. We know that given the extreme nature of the neocon agenda in fomenting support for an invasion and occupation of Iraq, Bush and company had their work cut out for them. Therefore, among the first moves by Rumsfeld following 9/11 was to somehow try to connect Saddam to the terror attacks. The various intelligence agencies reported to Rumsfeld that there was no Iraq connection to 9/11 and that it was an Al-Qaeda operation. But those findings were merely bothersome impediments, since the CIA and other intelligence agencies would not or could not supply the intelligence needed to justify a war on Iraq. Rumsfeld set up his own Rump Intelligence Agency, the Office of Special Plans, stocked it with political appointees of the PNAC persuasion, and soon was stovepiping cherry-picked raw intel, much of it untrue from self-interested Iraqi exiles, straight to Cheney and others in the White House. Shortly thereafter, the White House Iraqi group, the in-house marketing cabal, with such major players as Libby, Rove, Card, Rice, Hadley, Hughes, Madeline, et al., went big time with the weapons of mass destruction and mushroom cloud scares and the suspect melding of Saddam Hussein with the events of 9/11. Based on this sexed up and phony intelligence, Cheney, Bush, Rice, and Rumsfeld and others began warning about mushroom clouds over the U.S., drone planes dropping biological agents over the East Coast, phony photos were shown to members of Congress, huge stockpiles of chemical weapons in Iraq, etc. Secretary of State Colin Powell, regarded as the most believable of the bunch, was dispatched to the United Nations to make the case, which he did, reluctantly, by presenting an embarrassingly weak litany of surmise and concocted allegations. While the U.S. corporate media was unanimous in its opinion that Powell had cinched the case, the world didn't buy it. Powell, who resigned in 2004, has since lamented his role in this charade, and the opposition to the U.S. war plan was palpable and huge. 10 million citizens throughout the world hit the streets in protest. You didn't see much about that, though, folks. And former allies publicly criticized Bush. Only Tony Blair in England eagerly hitched his wagon to the Bush war plan with large numbers of troops dispatched and turned it over, as it turned out over the objections of many of his closest aides and advisors. And then we go to the Downing Street memos. We know that those advisors warned Blair that he was about to involve the UK in an illegal, immoral, and probably unwinnable war that would put the UK and US troops in great danger from potential insurgent forces. How do we know about these inner workings of the Blair government? Because someone from inside that body leaked the top secret minutes
from those war cabinet meetings, the so-called Downing Street memos. We also learn from those minutes that Bush and Blair agreed to make war on Iraq as early as the spring of 2002. The intelligence, they decided, would be fixed around the policy to go to war, despite their telling the legislative bodies, the mass media, and their citizens that no decisions had been made. In fact, the Bush administration had decided to attack Iraq a year before the invasion. Screw Saddam. Doesn't say that, but that's what I'm saying. Bush told three U.S. senators in March of 2002, we're taking him out. We know that many of Blair's most senior advisors thought the weapons of mass destruction argument rested on shaky ground and that without specific authorization from the United Nations Security Council, the legality of the war was doubtful. But the Bush administration rushed to war anyway because the UN inspectors on the ground in Iraq were not finding any weapons of mass destruction stockpiles. The rush to war was accomplished without proper planning and with no workable plan to secure the peace and reconstruct the country after major fighting. And some weeks later, Bush prematurely declared under mission accomplished banner that the U.S. had prevailed in the Iraq war. The Iraq insurgency was about to blow up in their faces. The Downing Street memos makes clear that both the U.S. and U.K. were well aware that Iraq was a paper tiger, with no significant WMD stockpiles or link to Al-Qaeda and the 9/11 attacks. Nevertheless, a major thrust of Bush and Company's justification for going to war was based on these non-existent weapons of 9/11 links. The big tie technique, repeating the same falsehoods over and over and over, drumming those lies into America's heads day after day and month after month with little if any skeptical analysis by the corporate mainstream media, which marched mostly in lockstep with Bush policy and thinking. Wolfowitz admitted later that they chose WMD as the primary reason for making the war because they couldn't agree on anything else the citizenry would accept. But I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but I mean this behind the scenes. It's just funny. Tragic, but funny. But frightening people with talk of nuclear weapons, mushroom clouds, toxins delivered by drone airplanes and the like would work like a charm. And so they did, convincing the American people and Congress that an attack was justified. Well, it wasn't. Number seven. Iran is beneficiary of U.S. policy. We know that the real reasons for invading Iraq had precious little to do with WMDs, with Islamic terrorists inside that country, with installing democracy and the like. There were no WMDs to speak of, and Saddam, an especially vicious dictator, did not tolerate religious or political zealots of any stripe. No, the reasons had more to do with Americans' geopolitical goals in the region involving oil, control, support for its ally Israel, hardened military bases, and keeping Iran from having free reign in the region. However, as it turned out, the invasion and brutal occupation of Iraq removed the one major buffer against the expansion of Iran's political and military power into the region. In addition, because of the U.S. occupation was so incompetently carried out, it pushed Iraq and Iran into a far closer religious and political alliance than it would have been the case if Saddam had been permitted to remain in power. Cheney and Bush may have sacrificed thousands of American dead, tens of thousands of American wounded, and hundreds of thousands of Iraqis as collateral damage, and now the administration, which has constantly downsized its definition of victory, is quietly willing to accept a stable Islamic government that may well turn out to be more attuned to a Tehran than to a Washington. Iraq as a disaster zone. This is number eight. We know that Bush's war has been a thorough disaster built on a foundation of lies and bungled from the start. For most of its residents, those still remaining in Iraq, Iraq in 2007 is a manifestation of hell on earth. As a result, the occupation has provided a magnet for jihadists from other countries. Billions have been wasted or lost in the corrupt system of organized corporate looting that ostensibly is designed to speed up Iraq's reconstruction. Indeed, so much has Bush's war been botched that the realists in the administration know the U.S. must get out as quickly as possible if they are to have any hope of exercising their considerable muscle elsewhere in the Middle East. But, so far, the neocon strategy still rules and stay the course remains the operating principle. Hence, the last-minute attempt for a military do-over, Cheney Bush's surge escalation, which they are trying to extend in six-month chunks through the November 2008 election. Number nine, the stretched thin military. We know that Bush's Middle East agenda is also suffering because the U.S. military is spread way too thin in Afghanistan and Iraq. The desertion and suicide rates are high. Soldiers are not reenlisting at the usual clip. Recruitment isn't working and deceptive scams are being used to lure youngsters into signing up. And by the way, I've seen a few of those myself, folks. In short, there are no forces to spare on the ground. Either a military draft will be instituted, which would be the only last resort for Cheney and Bush, or all future attacks will have to come from air power or from missiles, which will merely deliver a message about U.S. superiority in the air, but with no successful follow-up on the ground. The air attacks will result in making the citizens of those countries even angrier at America, and with little likelihood of success in forging U.S.-friendly democratic governments in Iran. Syria et al., since the bomb populations will support their existing governments. In short, America's failure in Iraq and Israel's failure in Lebanon demonstrate the limits of muscle-bound high-tech armies in the modern nationalist guerrilla world. Number 10, hiding facts from the public. We know that Bush and company made sure that there would be no full-scale independent probes of their role in using and abusing the intelligence that led to war in Iraq. This is the most secretive administration in American history, and they want no investigations of any of their mistakes or corruptions of the democratic process. The Senate Intelligence Committee, then led by Republican Pat Roberts, held hearings on the failures lower down in the chain, namely at the CIA and FBI level, and promised that there would be follow-up hearings on any White House manipulation of intelligence. But following the 2004 election, Roberts said no purpose would be served in launching such an investigation. Likewise, the 9/11 Commission did not delve deeply into how the Bush administration misused its pre-9/11 knowledge. In short, this secretive administration made sure that everything was done to head off at the pass any investigations whatsoever. And we've not learned much more about this topic now that the Democrats are in control of Congress. Now, the turn to tyranny at home. Perilously close to, and I will add, if not already in, a dictatorship. We know that Bush has no great love for democratic processes, certainly not inside the United States. On at least three occasions, he has jokingly expressed his preference for dictatorship, as long as he said he can be the dictator. He much prefers to rule as an oligarch, but to do that, he had to invent legal justifications that he could claim granted him the requisite power. So he had longtime lawyer toady Alberto Gonzalez and Cheney's now chief of staff David Addington devise a legal philosophy that permits Bush to do pretty much what he wants. Ignore laws on the books, disappear U.S. citizens into military prisons, authorize torture, spy on citizens, phone calls and emails, declare martial law and rule by decree, etc. Whenever Bush says he's acting as commander-in-chief during wartime. And since wartime is the amorphous war on terror from which there is no end, Bush is home free. There always will be terrorists trying to do anti-U.S. damage somewhere around the globe or inside America, and the commander-in-chief will need to respond. Ergo goes the logic. Bush and any successor is above the law, untouchable in perpetuity. Bush and company also made sure that U.S. officials and military troops would not be subject to indictment by any international court or war crimes tribunal. No doubt the issue of unstoppable executive power ultimately will be heard by the U.S. Supreme Court, to which Bush has appointed ultra-conservative judges John Roberts and Sam Alito. In a chilling decision, the appeals panel, of which Roberts was a member prior to his ascension to the Supremes, ruled that the commander-in-chief arbitrarily designed enemies are non-persons with no legal rights. Bush now feels free to subject anyone he likes to the military tribunal system he has concocted. Even the court's recent objections to the tribunal system has had little effect on day-to-day violations of detainees' rights, as Bush and company always manage to postpone and delay implementations or find ways around the court rulings. Torture as official U.S. policy. We know that Gonzalez, Addington, and Pentagon lawyers beholding to Rumsfeld devised legal rationales to make torture of suspects official state policy. These Bush loyalist lawyers also greatly widened the definition of what is acceptable interrogation practice. Basically, anything this side of death or terminally abusing internal organs. They also organized the rendering of key suspects to countries specializing in extreme torture. After all this, Bush and Rumsfeld professed shock. Shock! That those under their command would wind up torturing, abusing, and humiliating prisoners in U.S. care. But the administration made sure to stop all inquiries into higher-up responsibility for the endemic torture. The buck never stops on Cheney Bush's desk. If something goes wrong, and they will never admit to their mistakes, it's always someone else's fault. Even when Iraq falls, the names of scapegoats are being prepared by al-Maliki, Democrats, the liberal media, and bloggers, Bill Clinton, General Petraeus, never Cheney, and never Bush. The Bill of Rights goes quaint. We know that the Bush administration has been able to obtain whatever legislation it needs in its self-proclaimed war on terror by utilizing and hyping the understandable fright of the American people. John Ashcroft and Tom Ridge emerge periodically to manipulate the public's fright by announcing yet another terror threat based on credible but unverified evidence.
As he departed from his directorate of the Homeland Security Department, Ridge admitted that he was required to issue many of these terror warnings when there was no justifiable reason for doing so. It has been demonstrated that those warnings were activated usually when the administration was facing an election or when they were having an especially bad news day. A news scandal, especially discouraging reports from Iraq, etc. Meanwhile, Congress, shame on you Democrats, recently made most of the Patriot Act laws permanent. Unless those can be repealed and the tradition of habeas corpus reintroduced into the American jurisprudence, that vote will be a nail into the coffin housing the remains of the Bill of Rights. Oh, gosh. Outing CIA agents for political reasons. The Bush administration, for its own crass political reasons, compromised American national security by revealing the identity of two key intelligence operatives. The first was CIA agent Valerie Plame, who had important contacts in the shadowy world of weapons of mass destruction, especially in dealing with Iran's nuclear capabilities. Whenever the leak originated, it is clear that Cheney, through Libby, and Rove disclosed Plame's covert identity in an attempt to punish her husband for exposing Bush's lie to the nation that Saddam was seeking supplies of uranium from Central Africa. We got to take a break again. I'll be back for the final segment. I'm not going to be able to finish up with all this, but I'll tell you what the rest of the 22 are when I get back. Stick with me, Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. I'll be back for the final 4 minutes.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permanent hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
All right, we're back. Final segment of The American Awakening with your guest, with your host, Michael Herzog, coming to you live from Phoenix, Arizona. I'm going to finish this out, folks. with the outing of the CIA agents revealing the identity of a covert CIA agent is a felony. The other outing of the CIA operative by Condi Rice, apparently to show off how successful the administration was in its anti-terrorism hunt, was that of a high-ranking mole close to bin Laden's inner circle. This operative could have kept the U.S. informed as to ongoing and future plans of al-Qaeda. That's Bush's war on terrorism at work. I'm not going to finish the rest of these. There's seven more, but I'm just going to tell you what they are. Number 15, do you know if your vote is counted? Well, we know that America's vote counting system is corrupted. Number 16, no privacy anymore. Number 17, purging the body politic. Number 18, there is no real economic plan. Number 19, drowning government in the bathtub. Number 20, privatizing government functions. Number 21, who cares what you drink or breathe? And number 22, it's faith over science, myth over reality. Go to whatreallyhappened.com, I believe is where – no, this is American Free Press, and you can pull that up. Let's go to Clay in New Mexico. Last caller. Clay, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for going through those. I'm just trying to catch up. I've been gone out of the office, and I caught one of your archives, and I was just trying to get updated. I've tried to find your website. You were talking last week or two about novels or books by Randy Weaver. And making donations to you and getting a copy of the book.
Right, Clay, right? You're Clay in New Mexico?
Correct.
Oh, I want to thank you so much, sir. I got that letter from you, and I announced it on the air the other day. I tell you what, it's on my website, www.theamericanawakening.org. And, I've got Randy's book up there. I have not had one inquiry for that book, and I find that fascinating because I've read the book, and it's an outstanding book.
People are really falling through if they're not taking the opportunity to get a copy of that book. I have no idea what's in it. That's why I wanted to get it. But
I'll tell you, it's the story of Ruby Ridge from the eyes of Randy himself and his daughter, and it's an emotional ride. And it reminded me of what Ed and Elaine Brown must be experiencing on a day-to-day basis with, the anxiety that they have to be experiencing up in Plainfield, New Hampshire.
Right.
And this is why I said it's a must-read for people, but I've had nobody even contact me about it.
Well, I want to get it from you, and I'll get on your website and get that information. But I think at the same time you were indicating that you were wanting to get some donations. It sounds like the people out there listening are kind of letting you down or something here. So I just want to call on people to get some donations to you, and let's get this moving. And I enjoy your show, and I enjoy listening to it most every day that I can. So,
well, I appreciate that, Clay, and I appreciate the donation. You had sent me a donation before I had ever even put a pledge drive up, but I have since taken that off my website because, frankly, I'm not the kind of guy that likes to beg for money. I would rather that people go on the website and buy something, of which I've got, Randy's book up there, and I've got a Stop Smoking product, and there'll be more products that are coming up there in the near future. It takes money for expenses to do this, and
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I was looking. I know you're running out of time, but I was looking, trying to find your website, and I ran into theamericanawakening.com, and I didn't realize it was theamericanawakening.org, and it didn't say that in your bio on the RBN.
And they're supposed to be putting that up. Yeah, they're supposed to be putting that up there, and I'll talk to them about that.
Just FYI, so you know that.
Thank you, Clay. I appreciate the call. Got to run. Got a minute left. Okay, listen, I want to remind everybody. Friends, neighbors, and relatives, give them all a call. Next week is going to be an unbelievable information-packed week with John Hankey. Okay, we're going to talk about JFK, the Bush Connection, his son, and that assassination, and a number of other topics. So get a hold of everybody. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Stay tuned for the National Intel Report. It'll be a mixed bag. I don't know who's on. John still may be sick, so I'll see you Monday with John Hankey. Have a good weekend, guys.
Round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, 'cause I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is you think I should. With